this evening how many points I had. I said, there's 8 points. And she says, oh, honey. She says, if you ever want to be asked to preach again, you know, trying to give me some good advice. But, you know, of course, I being a man, we don't always readily accept that. And my thinking was, well, preacher's not going to be here tonight. So he'd still ask me. And then I come in and here he is. So there might be only 2 points tonight. We'll see. we'll see how the Lord leads in that. But amen. So thankful to be here. We're going to be in the book of Luke here this evening. If you want to turn the book of Luke chapter number 15, and like I said, I'm thankful for just the Word of God and what we can learn from it. And you know, what we'll look at here tonight is familiar to us in a lot of ways, but I hope that God can just show us some things, maybe some overlooked things. And so if you would go in and stand with me, we're just going to read one verse, and this will kind of kick us off, and you'll kind of understand where we're at here in the book of Luke. But we'll read one verse, and then I'll read the rest as we go along. But Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, Jesus speaking, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you would meet with us tonight. I pray that you would just be with my tongue, be with my spirit. Lord, I pray that you would just be able to work through me to deliver your word. Father, it's your word that does the work. It's your spirit that we need tonight. And Father, I pray that you would just meet with each one of us. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've taught us. We thank you, Lord, for how you want us to grow and have a life that honors you and glorifies you. So, Father, I pray that you would meet with us, meet us all where we're at here this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, as I look at this parable, you can look at this, what we first read this, verse number 11, and you can just kind of glance on past there, and this is what we call the parable of what? The prodigal son. And so, as I think about this, and the times that I've heard this parable taught from the time I was a child, and I mean, this is pretty prominent the flannel graphs and all the things that you see on the prodigal son, and so you kind of just approach it because it's like familiarity breeds contempt. I mean, sometimes in the scriptures we can approach even a portion of scripture with that kind of contempt that comes with familiarity. Like, oh yeah, I know what this is, and we can't grow from it because of the way we approach it. And sometimes that's just from a child, that kind of familiarity, and we have this kind of flannel graph picture of things in our minds. And so I've appreciated just what, when you really let the Lord speak to you and you just take it as it's written and not like the flannel graph, you know, not you just have these visuals in your head. And so I've really enjoyed this. This is actually a 2-part series. And I've done like a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, but we're going to skip to part number 2. And the title of this message is The Forgotten Son. The Forgotten Son. So, but when I think about that and when we talk about how we can approach things, it reminds me of a story. Lynn and Judy were doing some carpenter work on an Habitat for Humanity house. Now, Lynn and Judy both had this condition. They both had lighter colored hair, with the yellowish tint. Is that politically correct? Did I say that right? This isn't a blonde joke. It's just lighter colored hair with the yellowish tint. And they were working on this house, and Lynn, who was nailing down house sidings, would reach into her nail pouch and pull out a nail and either toss it over her shoulder or nail it in. Well, Judy, figuring this was worth looking into, asked, "Why are you throwing those nails away?" Lynn explained, "Well, when I pull a nail out of my pouch, about half of them have the head on the wrong end, and I throw them away." Of course, Judy got completely upset and yelled, "That's ridiculous. Those nails aren't defective. They're for the other side of the house." Sometimes the portion of scripture we throw out, it's not the scriptures that are defective. It's for the other side of the house, all right? It's for the other portion. God wants us to see a whole picture here, but hopefully we can point some things out. As we continue reading here in Luke chapter number 15, the Bible says this. We start in verse number 11, verse number 12. A certain man had two sons, 11, and then verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went out and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. And that's a wonderful story of this younger son. But I think one of the first things, and I want to read this to you. In Psalm 103, I saw this psalm and I thought this would be the praise of the prodigal. Psalm 103, and I'm just going to read some of these verses, just like I just read those verses, but I want you to listen to it, and you can read along if you can turn there quickly. But in Psalm chapter number 103, what we see here in this story of this prodigal, the one who took his goods and wasted it in a far-off land until he had nothing left, and then came back to the father with just the knowledge, the understanding that I don't deserve to be even called a son anymore with what I did. With what I took for granted, with what I wasted of what my father had for me, I am not worthy. And coming back, and yet how the father responded to him. Look at this in Psalm 103, or listen along. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Can you not hear the praise of the prodigal in that? When the prodigal came back, said, humbled himself, said, "I'm no more worthy." And the father says, "I forgive you, son. I forgive you." Before he even got back, the father ran to meet him and said, "I've been waiting. I forgive you." He didn't even respond to his prepared remarks. It was just, get the robe, put it on him, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a feast. My son's home. What a wonderful, beautiful picture of God's grace and mercy. And you know, as we look at that, we can all relate to that. Because all of us started out in this condition. All of us started out apart from God, rejecting His goodness, rejecting the Holy Spirit's working in our lives, and just wanting to go our own way. But God's was merciful to us, not willing that any should perish. And we can relate to that. But you know, I want to submit to you that this parable is not the parable of the prodigal son. In fact, you know, if you look at the first verse, the verse we read together, the Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. So when I look at this, I have a caption over this verse that says, the parable of the lost son. But then the Bible says, a certain man had two sons. I think I'll just go with the Bible. This is a parable about two sons. And you know, I think for a big portion of my life, I kind of missed out on a whole another vast wealth of things God wants to teach us from the other side, the other side of the story. And not just, you know, as we look at this and we think about this as, this isn't the parable of the lost son. This is the parable, I would kind of say it as the wayward sons. We could say this is a parable of the wayward sons. So it's like, well, how is it? Well, we'll get to that. But you know, as we look at this, the younger one was in open rebellion, wasn't he? But as we move on in our story, we see the elder one was in opaque resentment. There was something that wasn't opaque, meaning not transparent. It was something inside, that there was some resentment going on. So we're going to look at this. And so we're going to start here in verse number 25 in our text. And in my Bible, there's a caption over this also. And it says, the Pharisee. How many of you have that over, have something like that or something according to that? So here we go. We have another caption. And this is, some of the captions are actually helpful. But sometimes you just kind of got to throw everything away and just look at the scriptures. And so as we look at this, I want to think about a couple different things. The Pharisee. You know what? We live in a day and age, and we live in a time, especially now, where everybody wants to label something. They want to label you. Why do they want to label you? So they can dismiss everything you have to say. Is that not what you do? If somebody on the left, if you're trying to expose something or you're trying to show something that's happening, you're a conspiracy theorist. And dismiss everything they have to say. If you're over here and you say, and you know, now, I mean, now it's like everybody wants to call everyone a Nazi. You know, why would they do that? Well, they just want to label you so they can dismiss everything about your person. Or over here, and they'll say, well, you're a racist. And it's like, because you've labeled somebody that, you can dismiss everything about that person because they're a this or a that. And so I want all of us to be careful about labeling anybody. Because first off, was not Nicodemus a Pharisee? But did Jesus say, get out of here, you stinking Pharisee? No. He said, ye must be born again. And so as we look at this, it's easy to label something, and then what do? The whole reason we label things is so we can either associate with it or just dismiss it out of hand. And in our society, that's very dangerous because there's no conversation going on. And so as we look at this, the Pharisee is like, well, let's look at this for a minute. Let's consider a couple things about even that statement. First, in John 8, when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, we go down and verse number 13 establishes who he's talking to, the Pharisees. But in verse number 44, Jesus talking to the Pharisees said this, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the people that he was talking to as Pharisees, he said, wait, you think God is your father, but ye are of your father, the devil. In our parable, we have a certain man had two sons. So first off, this is not some kind of a play on word. I mean, it's a son of the father. And then also we have we see this in Matthew chapter 23 verse number 1-4. The Bible, Jesus speaking to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders," but listen to this, "but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." This is what Jesus says as a Pharisee. But let's look at the Bible and see in verse number 25, the first thing we learn about the elder son. Let's read this first phrase together. "Now his elder son was in the field." The first thing I want us to see, and point number one, if you're counting, the willing son. You see, this elder son was the willing son. The very first thing we find out about the elder son was he was in the field. So we have the story of this younger son from the beginning who says, "Dad, I'm tired of the farm life. I'm tired of working in the field. I want you to give me my inheritance now, and I'm just going to live it up." But the elder son, he just kept working and kept working. He was willing. He went to the field. You know, as we think about that, there's another parable in Matthew 21, verse number 28. Jesus said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not,' but afterward repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.'" But we think about this first son, who, though at first he rejected, repented and went and did the will of the Father. He's the one that his actions actually followed, and he did what he was supposed to do. Whereas the second one, it was all words, right? "I go, sir." Oh, look at that respect. Like Eddie Haskell. You know, have you ever seen? "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Mrs. Cleaver," you know. That's this second son. "Oh, I go, sir. Yes, sir, I'm out there. Yep, yep, just let me get my stuff. Let me get my boots on." And dad walks out the door and is like, "All right, I'm going fishing." You know, that's the second son. And so they could obviously see, yeah, even though the first one didn't want to at first, he repented, he went, he did the work. Well, this was the willing son. That's the first thing we see about the elder one, is he was in the field. So, like the next thing as we go into point number two, he was the working son. He was willing, but he was working. You know, as we look in the scriptures, the field is a place of work. It's a place, in fact, Proverbs 24:27, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." The field is also the place of harvest, isn't it? Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus said, or "Then saith he to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.'" So we see from the very first phrase we have about this elder son is that he was willing to do the work of his father, and he was working in the field. But you know, there's something interesting about what happens when you work. I don't know if any of you ever experienced this before, but it causes weariness. You ever worked hard and became weary? And that's the third point. We see the weary son. The Bible says, still in verse number 25, "And as he came and drew nigh to the house," he was in the field. You see this picture? You see this picture of a son who's bearing the burden. He's out in the heat of the day. He's doing the work of the father. He's in the field, and it's time to go home. It's been a day, and he's coming and approaching to the house, and he heard music and dancing. The weary son. Work makes us weary. Do you ever notice that you respond to things differently when you're weary? I do. My family could tell you. There's times I've come home and they know because I'd been speckled with concrete from head to toe, and it just all starts dusting off, and I basically have to just make a cloud outside the house and try and dust off the clothes and get the, and it's like, and you've had those Missouri hot days where, you know, and you come in and it's like, I don't really want to hear a lot of noise. I don't really want to answer a lot of questions. Just let the air conditioner do its job on my brain for a while. And you respond to things differently when you're weary. You know, things are not as amusing when you're weary, are they? It's different to be weary than to be tired. You know, you get a bunch of girls at a slumber party, and they might be tired, and it might be midnight, but everything's funny then, you know. But when you're weary, you need to rest. No, I don't want to play a game. No, I don't want to do that. You're weary. And you know, when you're battle-worn, you know, somebody comes in from a battle, they're weary. And we look at how he's coming in from the field, and he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants in verse 26 and asked, what do these things mean? Asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And the next four words, "And he was angry." Now we see the wrathful son. James chapter number 1, verse number 19 and 20 say this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." But you know, as we look at this elder son and we see what in my opinion is the forgotten son, think about him. Out in the field, nobody's thinking about the older son. Why? He's out doing his job. He's working in the field. He's bearing the load. And here he comes, weary, battle-worn, and he hears music and dancing, and it's like, "Your brother's back. We're having a feast." And you can just see. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever worked in a field, like a hay field or something. When I was a teenager, I had the privilege of hauling hay for many years, all through high school. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, we did it with some of my friends, and you know, but it's hot. It's nasty work. You're in the field, and I tell you what, you get up in the barn loft in the middle of summertime, and you start having to stack those hay bales in there, and when you get to the very end, and you got to pack it out. So they call it marrying the hay bales, where you fold them in and cram them in, and then you can start the next row. And it's like you get into those hay barn lofts, and it might be 90 degrees outside or 95 degrees, but it's 140 up in that loft. And you come out of it, and literally you're caked green because you're sweating profusely, and all the dust and all the stuff that's thrown around that barn just sticks to you, and you're just caked, everything. And I can just see this man maybe caked with the dirt from the field or the dust, and he's coming home, and he's just like, I just want to get cleaned up. I just want to eat something. I just want to go to bed. And here there's music and mirth and merriment. And it's like, "Your brother's home." And he got angry. Why would he get angry? Well, because he's a Pharisee. He got angry because that's just what Pharisees do. How about this? You ever felt left out of something? You ever felt left out? The last one to know that his brother had returned? You know how you feel differently, even just in the timing of getting information? You know, it could be anything, but it's like when everybody knows something and somebody's just like, hey, do you hear about that? And it's like, what? But, you know, I've had this experience many times because all my sisters and everybody's on Facebook and all that, and I am not. And so somebody that I barely know will come and say, oh, we heard this, your sister did this and this and this. And I'm like, well, I didn't know that, you know. And it's like just the timing of when you get information can affect how you feel about it, can't it? He was out working. Nobody came and got him, did they? He just coming home from the field and hears this and has to go ask somebody what's going on. But you or I, we would never react that way, would we? We would never get our feelings hurt because of something as trivial as being the last one to find out about something. How about feeling unappreciated? Nobody ever even bothered to get him from the field. What am I? A piece of trash? What am I, just non-existent? You're not even a servant's going to come out and get me from the field and say, hey, we're going to throw a party. Take the day off. You know, just wrap it up where you're at and come get cleaned up. We're going to... No, just finish out your day. He'll find out when he gets to the house. How would you feel? Feeling bitterness? You know, it's interesting, but our Father forgives more quickly than we do. Much more quickly.
Yes, sir.
How about feeling undercompensated? You ever feel like I'm worth more? No bonus parties thrown for him. I'm undercompensated. What about this feeling of resentment? This guy abandoned all of us. You know what happens, and we've heard a lot about this even in our revival services last week, that your relationship to God is many times shown in your relationship to church. And when someone abandons the Father, he abandons the brethren too. And so while the younger son said, Father, give me all that you have, guess who was standing by and happened to still go out to the field every day? It was the elder brother, wasn't it? The younger son didn't just abandon the father, he abandoned his brother. And so you think about this, for however many months or years, this younger son was out living it up in the world. The elder son was every day back in the field. Back in the field. Another day back in the field. And do you not think that when somebody who's supposed to be there just abandons and leaves post, it doesn't make more work for the one who stays behind? Think about that when we decide, oh, well, nobody's going to miss me at the church. Nobody's going to miss me. Nobody cares if I'm there. Nobody. And there's an absence. And what's it leave more of a burden on everybody else that's working in the field? You think he may have felt some resentment? How much more difficult was the elder brother's work because the younger brother left his post? You know what? I could see him feeling a little bit like Asaph at about this time. Remember, Asaph said, my feet had well nigh slipped, because he began to look and see, it's like the prosperity of the wicked. You can go do whatever you want, and it just doesn't even matter. You just come back and get the fatted calf slain for you. And here, every day, I've been working and working and working and bearing not only my work, but my little brother's work, because he abandoned all of us. You don't think he may have felt a little bitterness there? And because he, in this situation, and what the Lord was trying to convey to us, did probably far less than any one of us would have done in the same situation, we want to label him and stop learning anything from him. The wrathful son. Next thing we see is the withdrawn son. What's the Bible say? He was angry, verse 28, and would not go in. He was angry and would not grow in. You know, he had every right to go partake of the fatted calf and enjoy the blessings with them, enjoy the blessings of the Father, but he chose not to go in. Why? Because he had some bitterness in his own heart, some resentment, some hurt feelings, felt unappreciated, undercompensated, but he chose not to go in. So here's the time he's like, I would really like, I mean, why didn't anyone throw me a party? I would like to eat of the fatted calf. And here's the time the fatted calf's laid out for him. And he says, I'm not going in. He was withdrawn. I think, how often do we miss out on the joy and blessings of God because we will not rejoice with them that rejoice? It doesn't have to always be our great blessings for us to be happy, does it? Do you realize how often we could be rejoicing if we just rejoiced with others that rejoice? Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And you know what? As we look on and see verse 28, therefore came his father out and entreated him. Verse number 29, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. You know, the next thing we see here is the whining son. Have you ever done that? I think we all do this at times. Against the father, first off, thou never gavest me a kid. It's right to him, isn't it? I think there's a law here that we could kind of throw out there. Anytime we have bitterness against a brother or a sister, it always goes up to God. I don't believe it is possible for you to be bitter at another person without being bitter at God. God said you cannot hate another person and love God. So is it possible that, well, I'm fine with God, but that person, I'm never forgiving. What did Jesus say? If you don't forgive them, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. These are things that are like, it's impossible to live on both sides of this, in darkness and in light at the same time. And so as we look at this, it becomes this whining attitude. His attitude became that like in Malachi 3, 13 through 15. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Can you not hear that in this elder son? It's vain. All this time, serving you and working in the field, it's all vain. It has not profited me at all. Because as soon as this younger son who abandoned all of us came back, he gets the red carpet rolled out for him. And I don't even get called in from the field. You understand the spirit here? I think it's possible that there's a lot of times we can fit into this category as well. In fact, I think as a young Christian, we probably fall more into the younger son's category many times and just thankful the Father doesn't throw us out at the first thing we do. But as we get older and we begin to do the work of the Lord And I think about preachers and Sunday school teachers and just workers in the church, deacons and all the people who serve and the people who keep the grounds kept and the people who clean up after all these messy people and pick up the trash and do all these things that nobody ever notices. And we were talking about before church, the sound guy. Nobody ever notices the sound guy unless something goes wrong, right? And you know, we can be that people, and it's like we think that as we get older, we see those who go and leave, and they seem to be doing great. And then they may come back, and it's like maybe years have gone by, and it's like, why? Why do we? Why? What's the big deal about being faithful? Is it profitable? And he had this whining mentality. We have, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Can you not see this attitude in the elder brother against his younger? He was whining against the father, and he also was whining against his brother, wasn't he? He devoured thy living. He wasted and consumed your money. He just whining and whining because of a bitter spirit. And then we see he was the wrong son. In Psalm 73, Asaph talking about looking at the ungodly, him saying, my feet had well nigh slipped. But you go down to verse number 17 and he says, until I went to the house of God. And as we see here that he wasn't just the whining son, he was the wrong son. The father says it was meat that we should make merry. The verse number 32. The, what does that mean? It was suitable. It was proper. This was the right thing to do, that we should make merry. He says, the younger son, because for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. He said the younger son was wrong the whole time, grieving the father's heart. But now the younger son has repented and returned to the father, but the elder son has withdrawn and is now wrong. And I want to point this one thing out too. All the years of being right did not make him immune from being wrong. And I think no matter how faithful, no matter how many years we put in the service of the Lord, if we allow that root of bitterness, or we allow these feelings of resentment, and we allow the weight that's been put on us by maybe people who have abandoned us or done us wrong or done anything, and we start letting that fester inside of us, we are not immune after all those years of faithfulness from withdrawing ourselves from the Father. Think about Matthew 20:15. When the master said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Think about Jonah, how he was wrathful, withdrawn, whining, and wrong because of the bitterness he had against the Ninevites. Do you know Jonah did do what the Lord said? And he went and he preached. But then he was angry, because the Lord showed mercy. Much like this elder brother, isn't it? And then what did he do? He starts whining about the gourd. And God says, you're wrong. I should have shown compassion. I should have shown mercy. Look at all these little children and you're whining about the gourd. Our service for the Lord should never come before our relationship with the Lord. Think about Mary versus Martha, and Mary who was at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was cumbered, loaded down, perplexed, troubled about much serving. She forgot who she was serving. And Jesus said, one thing is needful. But as we look at all these things, we're already to the eighth point. You say, already? We look at the wealthy son. You know, there in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 14. This is the spirit of a lot of people. And if you leave off on this parable with just the younger son, you know what we're left with, in a sense? We're left with it's vain to serve God. I mean, just live your life, but then before the very end, just come back. And it's like, no, that's not what God's ever saying. What's Romans 6 say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the next words? God forbid. But I want you to see this one thing, because this can be the heart and the spirit of those who have been in the field, who are weary, who are battle-worn, who have been rejected, who have been abandoned by those who call themselves brothers. This is the person who's trying to be faithful. He's in the field. He's working for the Lord. And this is the person, and it's like, over time you start saying, is it worth it? Does it really matter? And you know what? I want to draw your attention to the hero of the whole story. Verse number 28, and he was angry, he would not go in. Look at this. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Wow. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to me. The father is the hero. And as we look at this, I want you to see what the father said to this elder son. Did he come out and entreat? The Bible says entreated him. And that means it's earnestly supplicated, besought or solicited, urgently requested. And what did he say? He said, first off, thou art ever with me. You know what this older brother had? Well, let's look at what he didn't have. No regrets. No scars. And you know what else he didn't have? No loss. The younger son, oh, we thank God for the father that loves us, regardless, because he's a father and we're a son. But the Bible says he wasted all his substance. He had nothing left. And the father received him back into his home as a son and said, you can eat at my table. But what about the elder son? All this time, I've just not... I want you to look at verse number 31. The father saying to the elder son, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. And look at this next phrase. And all that I have is thine. Did those words ever sink into you fully? Is it worth it to serve God faithfully? Amen. Is it worth it to stay in the field? And the father said, son, everything I have is yours. Amen. Just like when we get to the end, and in Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Thou art ever with me. You know what happened with the elder son? He began to lose sight, first off, of all the blessings that he had around him the whole time. And preeminently, the presence of the Father himself. The relationship. At no time did he leave the father and not just be able to come, hey, dad, what do you think about this? Hey, should we do this in the field? And the communion with the father was never lost. Yes, sir. Because he was doing the will of his father. Yep. But he forgot that. He was weary. He was battle-worn. He became resentful because of a brother. And the father came to him and had to remind him, son, all that I have is thine. Yes, sir. You know, as we think about that, I just want to just remind us, the Bible says, 2 John 1:8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward. You know, I believe the father wanted the same thing for the younger son as for the older son, to say, all that I have is yours. But you know what he said to the younger son? You're my son. You get to eat at my table. Nothing you can ever do can take away the fact that you're my son. But clearly, he wasted everything he had and was just given his position as a son. But the elder son, he said, all that I have is yours. Why? Because you were faithful. You know what I want? This one thing I want to stand out. The one who serves God wins. Amen. Every time. Amen. The one who serves God wins. He wants to reward those who serve him. Amen. He's given us a job to do just so he can give us something in the end. Amen. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth not corrupt. Bible says, John 4:35 through 36, and we're almost done. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. But look at verse number 36, and he says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know what he's talking about? The laborers in the field. You're sowing, you're reaping. You know where you got to do that? In the field. You know, while we should learn from the elder brother and look at his mistakes where he got his eyes off his relationship with his father, off the blessings that came with doing the will of the father and got his eyes on a brother, like so many of us can do, it's so easy to do. What we need to do even tonight is say, God, have I in any way got my mind, my eyes off of my relationship with you and serving you with all my heart and making sure I'm in the field so that someday you can say, well done, good and faithful servant to me. The words I want to hear more than anything when I get to heaven are, well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because I was just in the field. I just did what God wanted me to do. Whether big or small, if you're doing what God wants you to do, it's big. No matter what, small in man's eyes, who cares? It's him that says, well done, or, well, you're done. I want to hear those words, well done. The younger brother started out wrong, but ended up right. We rejoice in that. Back in the fellowship with the Father. The elder brother started out right, but ended up wrong and out of the fellowship of the Father by his own choice. The Father is the hero of the story, but somewhere in this, these two sons, we all fit in at times. All of us. The question tonight is, where do you fit in tonight? Where do I fit in tonight? Where are you? I want to finish with this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? The work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that this is the key, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it. He who serves God wins. Amen. Stand with me tonight with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I love the time of invitation because this is a time when if God's working in your heart, we can just come and humble ourselves before him and get things right. We don't have to wait till we get home. We don't have to wait till we get in the car. We can do it right now. And I'm so thankful for this time of any church service that I can respond to God's word, really. And so we want to open that up for you tonight. We're going to hear Brother John sing a verse of invitation. And as he sings, if the Lord spoke to your heart, you come here this evening.
I wonder. very easy to act like the older son, think we've been wrong some way. God's been good to us in everything He's given us. Sometimes we like to look at the other person. Well, look what they got. Or look what God did for them. God's done for us more than we deserve. God is good all the time. You know what the older brother was saying? Well, I don't think it's fair. But you know what? God will always be there to give us everything we need. Excellent message. Great thoughts. We can be faithful and whine. We can be faithful and grow weary. We can be faithful and get bitter. Let the Lord speak to your heart tonight. God's people said, what a blessing. Amen. The message was tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Moeller. Amen. Excellent message. Brother Andy Rodriguez, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?